Check. Good morning, church.
We're going to get into worship. If you guys would stand with me. This morning, every Sunday morning, we have pre-service prayer downstairs, and everybody's more than welcome to join. And one of the prayers that inevitably gets prayed by somebody in the room is, Holy Spirit, we give you permission, or something along those lines. God, we give you permission. We give you this service. And I want you guys to know that when we say these things, when we declare these things, it's not just words. Like, in this house, we really, really give God the service. And my encouragement this morning is that you would not just get ready to go through the routine of service. We'll do our three songs, and somebody will transition us out, and we'll greet each other, and then there'll be a message, and then we'll go on about our day. I really believe that if we walk into or step into this morning with this mindset, God, whatever you want to do today, whatever you want to do, and allow God to move in your heart how he wants to move. Allow him to speak to you the way he wants to speak to you. And so that's my prayer this morning, is that we would enter into this place with just a new song, and even if we're singing familiar songs, we would enter into this place with a different type of worship, a different type of approach, allowing God to just do what he's going to do. So God, we just thank you this morning for your goodness. We thank you that your presence is here. Your presence has been here. Even before Pastor Mike got up early this morning to turn on the heat, your presence was in this place. Even before we sing the first lyric, your presence is in this place. And we thank you, God, that you just graced us, God, with your presence, with your love, with your joy. God, we thank you that you're raining down right now, God, that you're bringing heaven down to earth. And God, we just praise your name this morning. We praise your name. We thank you, Jesus, for who you are. We thank you, Jesus. Just right now, begin thanking the Lord. Thank him for the simplicity of life. Thank him for breath in your lungs. Thank him for the family around you, for your spouse. Thank him for your children. Thank him that you woke up this morning. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, that we get to come into this place and worship you, God. We thank you, Jesus, that you sent your son, Lord. We thank you, God, that you sent your son to die on a cross for us, God. We thank you, God, that your son rose again for me. We thank you, God, that it is finished. That it's all finished. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus.
trials, cause we know that you're in them. Thank you, Jesus, for our spouse, for our marriage. Thank you, Jesus, for our children. Oh, I can keep
us out, church. We'll give you all. Thank you.
Pour out on the
telling Jesus how much we love him. You know, my two-year-old, I tell him, I love you. And every so often, he won't say it back because he's distracted. And so I have to say, I said, I love you. And then he'll look at me and he'll repeat. And he said, I said, I love you. And I said, I love you so much. And he says, I love you so much. And there's this beautiful thing in that, my son recognizing how important it is for me as a father for him to make sure he hears, I love you so much. So just as we're singing this out today to Jesus, I feel it's important that we remember that Jesus is saying this to us as well. Like he's saying, I love you. Oh, how I love you. You are the one that my heart adores. And it's such a beautiful thing because we get so focused on making sure that we tell God that we love him, and we sometimes neglect to practice taking in his love. So let's sing this one more time to Jesus. Let's tell him how much we love him this morning.
Jesus, we love you. And oh, how we love you. And you are the one our hearts adore. How we love you. And Jesus, we love you. And oh, how we love you. And you are the
for your love, your forgiveness. That there's no mistake of how much you love us. Let us never doubt the amount, the magnitude, the depth, the length of your love for us. And if we accomplish anything this morning, God, let it be that we walked out of this place with a revelation of the love of Christ. That if you didn't know it already, you are loved by Jesus Christ. And it has nothing to do with your attendance today in church. It has nothing to do with your Bible reading plan. It has nothing to do with your state and your Christianity. It's because he loves. We thank you for that, Jesus. So we praise your name this morning, and we continue to praise your name. We thank you, Lord, that worship doesn't have to end when the guitar stops being played, when the song stops being sung. Lord, that we get to worship you this morning, God. So we just pray over the remainder of the service. Pray, Lord, over these hearts that are in this place. For those who couldn't make it this morning. For those who are watching this or listening to this later at home. I just pray that you would encounter your children this morning with your love. With your magnificent love. And we just thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Hey, you guys have some beautiful people around you. Make sure to hug a neck or two. Get some coffee. We'll see you guys in a minute.
Good morning, church. Let's go on ahead and find our seats, please. We're going to do our declaration today. We're going to do the declaration over the house today, just because, you know, we love our house. We love, just like at your home, you know, you want to make sure that it's protected. You want to make sure you're speaking good things over it. We want to do the same thing with God's house. And so let's go on ahead and go to the first slide, please. We're going to say this in unison together on the count of three. One, two, three. I declare that God is building our church. God is calling us to the basic gospel, and He is awakening our church, that we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord. And God is working in our waiting, that our hearts are prepared to move where His heart moves, that we will cultivate a right heart and right mind. And we declare that we are reaching Yakima one life at a time. So yes, God, we just thank you so much for today. We thank you for this amazing building that you've blessed us with an amazing congregation, God, that just loves to worship you. We just pray over the rest of the service, Lord, that you would just bless the sermon and that everybody would walk away with at least one thing in their heart that they can ponder on. And so we thank you for all this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. We have no announcements as of now, but just wanted to thank everybody for those of you who are able to and give generously to this house. There's something beautiful about, it's impressive to look at a larger building, a larger congregation, and say, oh, wow, they're able to do all these things. What I think is even more impressive is that God can use our body to continue to give Him glory, to use us to give Him glory. And so just, my word of wisdom is as we're giving, it's not just out of routine. Let's never do anything out of routine. Let's never do anything just because, like I've heard it said, and I believe this, and I believe Pastor Mike believes this as well. Like, if you ever feel pressured to give in any house, including this, just don't. Because God's after your heart. God's after your heart, and that's where we should be giving from. And so I bless the tithes, I bless the offering in Jesus' name. You can give online, and you can also give in the box in the back, the box over here, and we appreciate it.
Amen. Also want to thank everyone who helped last week to decorate. It went really, really fast, and it was kind of wild and crazy, but we got it all done. And we've always had a Christmas tree up, and I've always been of the opinion that if we don't get the Christmas tree up, as long as we get the nativity up, for me, that's the most important, because it's the real reason for this season is Jesus Christ and His birth. Amen? All right, praise the Lord. Well, speaking of Christmas, I really felt like I wanted to make sure that I was continuing to honor the Lord with the time that we have to be able to focus on this season, that we don't take it for granted that this is Christmas time, and that there is an atmosphere in the air that just comes for some reason at Christmas time. You know, people seem to be more aware of love. They seem to be more aware of giving. And, the ultimate gift for Christmas was Jesus. He is the ultimate gift. And He was the ultimate gift, and He still is the ultimate gift. For those of you that have newly become Christians, I remember when I came to my first Christmas, it was like, as a Christian, it was like, oh my goodness, this is why I've been doing this my whole life. Because before, it was like tradition, like Eric was saying. We just, I was always like greedy for presents, wanted presents, I was always a bad kid. I would always like open my presents before. I had techniques for doing it, heating them up, the tape. Eric, come on, yeah, heating the tape. But I was good at when I opened it. I don't think Mom or anybody knew that I had already opened. Maybe they did. Maybe I was fooling myself that nobody knew. The point being is that I really understood what Christmas meant when I was saved. And I remember that first Christmas, and it wasn't a Christmas like where I had a lot of stuff or anything like that, because I was living in Portland, and we had two roommates, and we didn't have a lot of money, and but it meant so much to be able to come to that day and say, wow, God, you sent your son. You sent your only son. And we can celebrate his birth. And it really meant something. So today, I kind of want to, I like to really mess with our minds. Because I think when we mess with our minds, it helps us remember things. Helps us hold on to something. And today, I'm going to tell you that we would not have any Christmas without the Holy Spirit. No Christmas without Holy Spirit. Now, most people say, well, I don't even think about the Holy Spirit at Christmas. That's true. But I want us to remember that the Holy Spirit was just in it as involved in Christmas as Jesus was in saying yes and coming. So let's take a look at some verses today that hopefully will really emphasize that. There is a lot of reading. I mean, actually, if I could get a reader, it'd be great, but I'll work through it. First verse I want to go to isn't about Christmas, seemingly. It's Genesis 1, 1 through 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. We always think about God said there was light and there was light. We think about in the beginning that the earth was without form or void. Don't always remember that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, was hovering. Some translations say brooding. It's almost like a mother, you know, thinking about her newborn. The Holy Spirit was involved on the day of creation of all this, of everything that we have here. Holy Spirit was involved, and so I believe that Holy Spirit is a birther. I believe Holy Spirit is one that gives life, and hopefully today I'll be able to show you that from the scriptures. So let's go ahead and take a look at a Christmas verse. This is Luke 1, 13 through 15. Verse 13 says, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. And you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. So this is Zacharias. He is a priest. He is actually in the temple at this time. And he is serving in his ministry role as a priest. And an angel comes to him. And we believe this is Gabriel, same one who came to Mary. And he basically gives him this information that he doesn't end up believing. He says, oh, how can this be? And there's no way this is going to happen. We're both old. And so he ends up being, you know, quiet. Can't speak until the baby's born. That's a long time if you think about it. And so what ends up happening is John is born. And so, and we'll take a look at that in a moment. But notice that the Holy Spirit was involved in this situation. John the Baptist was going to be filled at the time. We'll see that Mary comes in to greet Elizabeth. The Holy Spirit comes upon her, and John is filled in the mother's womb. All right, here's another verse. Now this is when Mary is now coming to greet Elizabeth after she has been visited by the angel. It says, now in the sixth month, the angel, oh, sorry, this is Mary being visited by Gabriel. The next one will be that. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. Of the house of David, the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. I think anybody would be startled if an angel came and visited you. I don't just take a poll. Has anybody had an angel come and visit them? Nobody in here. But, you know, sometimes God does supernatural things. But for this woman, at this time, God was amazingly, miraculously visiting her to tell her this news that we're about to look at. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." So here in Genesis, we see the Holy Spirit brooding, hovering over the waters just before God's about to bring light. And most people think when he says he's bringing light, they're thinking of like the sun. The sun wasn't even made till like day four. So this was another type of light that he was bringing, but the Holy Spirit was involved in that birthing. And so we see right now that she's not going to be with a man, but the Holy Spirit is going to impregnate her. Think about that for a moment. Who lives in us? We'll go back to this later on. The Holy Spirit is going to impregnate her. It's going to overshadow her and place the seed of God in her, and she will conceive Messiah. She will conceive Jesus. She will conceive the reason for this season. Amen? Amen. All right. You guys have probably seen this story before. This is really kind of more about Joseph and how he was encouraged by God to not put Mary away, but it also reconfirms this idea that the Holy Spirit is involved in this incarnation. It says here in 18, "Now the birth of Jesus was as follows. As his mother, Mary, was betrothed to Jesus, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit," or from the Holy Spirit. So he didn't know it at the time. He's just going to see that his wife is now pregnant, or his betrothed is now pregnant. "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.'" So do you see what I'm saying? Without the Holy Spirit, that we would not have Christmas. Without the Holy Spirit, we would not be exchanging presents. Without the Holy Spirit, we would not have nativity scenes. The Holy Spirit was extremely involved in Jesus' birth and in Jesus' conception. Now think about this. We have the Holy Spirit in us. Let this start to sink into you. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. The same Holy Spirit that birthed Jesus, what's he going to birth in us? What's he going to produce in us? What's possible in us? Holy Spirit's a miracle working part of God. Is God. But now we have Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Holy Spirit. Father, thank you that we were not left here alone when Jesus went back to be seated at your right hand. But as it says in John 16, that you sent the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to be with us, to lead and guide us into all truth. Lord, we want to receive today everything that Holy Spirit has for us. Thank you, Lord, for your giving of the Holy Spirit in the moments when Mary was being visited by the angel so that she could conceive our Savior. Thank you, Lord. It says here, though, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, that they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated 'God with us.' Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her son, her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." So Joseph followed all the instructions of the dream, And after that, he took Mary. And if you read on in Luke, you'll read more about that story. And if you read on in this part of Matthew, it continues to go on. Today, I want to continue to focus on the Holy Spirit. Let's go ahead and go back now to Luke. And this is Mary now visiting Elizabeth, the one who Zacharias was husband of. Luke 1, 39 through 41. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just Elizabeth, I believe. This is the time that John, as a baby, is filled with the Holy Spirit. You think about that. A baby all of a sudden is filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Like I said, the Holy Spirit is a miracle working spirit. And we have Holy Spirit. When we receive Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. Some people believe that unless you just had an actual experience called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you didn't have Holy Spirit. Well, that's not the truth. The truth is that when we receive Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit. Now, is there another stage of the Holy Spirit that you can receive? Most definitely. And if you're ever interested in receiving that, you can talk to Pastor Gay because she has like a gift for praying for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I'm telling you, we all have the Holy Spirit who know Jesus. We have that miracle working power that conceived Jesus in us. You guys are like so quiet. It's like, is this any good? Luke 2, 25 through 29. I wanted to show this because it shows that even right after Jesus' birth, that the Holy Spirit was working to declare who he was on the earth and to his parents. And it says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. So this is a man that's elderly in age, seeking the Lord. He's devout. He loves God. And he is waiting for the consolation of Israel. He's waiting for Messiah. He's waiting for the promises that he's read about in the Old Testament, and he's waiting, he's looking. How many of us are waiting and looking to see what God's going to do next? What God wants to do next? I know a lot of us think, well, Jesus is going to come back someday, and he will, or maybe he's going to come back tomorrow. But what is God going to do next in our life? What should we be looking for? What is our consolation of Israel? Is it that he's going to stir us in such a way that we're going to change and be different than we were yesterday? Is he going to reveal new truths to us and we get those truths in us? We're going to experience truth like we never have, and we're going to be set free from things in our lives that have been holding us back? What are we expecting God to do in our lives or in our church or in our family or in this country? It's like, some people say, well, there's no way that God can fix this country. Well, if he can fix us, guess what? He fixes this country. If he can fix enough of us, he fixes the country. If he can get enough people to believe him, he fixes the country. It says here that, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Wow. Talk about a tight relationship with God. He was told by the Holy Spirit, by God, guess what, child? Guess what? You're going to see the Messiah. You're going to see this one you've been waiting for. Just think about that. This was before the cross. Folks, this is before Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to us on the day of Pentecost. And this kind of guidance and direction is taking place. How much more us who have the Holy Spirit living in us? Not just being upon us, but living in us. I think sometimes we don't think enough about what we have. We don't take time to say, God, you live in me. You live in me. Makes no sense. I don't know why you would choose to, but you have chosen to live in me. Now, what does that mean is going to happen to me because you're living in me? What can happen to me because you're living in me? What can be thrown out of my life and corrected because you're living in me? If we just take for granted that God lives in us, you know what? Not much is going to happen. Just like if we take for granted our wives, not much is going to happen. Or if we take for granted our children, not much is going to happen. Or if we take for granted our job, not much is going to happen. You're probably going to get fired. But if we start saying, Lord, what are you doing in my life? With the Holy Spirit, with your presence, what could you do? And that's when we say, Lord, I surrender to what you want to do in my life. I surrender to what you want to have transpire in me, not what I want to see happen, but what I know that you want to have happen in my life. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. So Holy Spirit was upon him. Holy Spirit revealed him he was not going to see death until he saw the Lord. And then the Holy Spirit said, hey, guess what? You need to go to the temple today because Jesus' parents are taking him there to fulfill what is in the law. And when the parents brought the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. So he saw the baby, and he knew that that was his Messiah, that that was his Savior. I don't know if he knew all the intricacies of who Jesus was at that moment, but he knew that this is the promise that Israel had been waiting for. This is the promise for mankind. And the Holy Spirit revealed that to him. What could the Holy Spirit reveal to us? It says that the Holy Spirit is here to lead and guide us into all truth. That's not my job. As much as people think preachers are the ones that are going to give us the truth, well, we might help the process along, but Holy Spirit is the one who leads and guides us into all truth. Yes. If I'm not aligned with the Holy Spirit, and I'm saying things, I'm hoping the Holy Spirit can circumvent what I'm saying and tell you the truth instead. Unfortunately, there's a lot of deception out there. But I believe the Holy Spirit can even keep us from getting in deception by us being sensitive to him. Amen. All right. Let's bring this to us now. Because the whole idea of Jesus coming to die on the cross, which we don't have up anymore, but to be born in a manger was to die so that we now could have a new life. We could be sons and daughters of God. So Jesus is talking to a man named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus is a religious leader. He knows a lot. He's well renowned. I don't know if any of you have ever seen the show The Chosen. They do a great job of showing who Nicodemus was. Somebody that, wow, this guy's really making me think that he might be Messiah, but he was so caught up in all of his dressings of who he was that he couldn't just totally surrender to Jesus, to surrender to the calling that God had on his life. We never know. I'd be nice if I could find some historical records, find out if Nicodemus ever really did become, you know, someone of prominence, and I guess someday we'll all know in heaven if he was. But John 3, 5 through 8, Jesus is answering Nicodemus. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. I'm going to stop right there. So let's go back to Genesis 1. What do we have happening here? We have the Holy Spirit hovering over the waters that are without form and void. And what happens? God speaks, let there be light. and there's light. What would you call it? It's like birth, right? And then what we have Mary, who's being overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. And what happens? Birth. She conceives Messiah. So Jesus is saying here that we need to be born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's coming into our lives and birthing something in us. First of all, he's birthing new life. He's taking us from the old life of death and birthing us into a new life of light, a new life of life, life that is abundant, life that has no end. You know, we're never going to die. I know that's radical to say that, but that's what Jesus said. If you believe in me, you will never die. Well, Pastor, I mean, you've had funerals here. Yes, those folks, they expired. Their tent, decayed, and they eventually, shut down. Let's put it that way. But they didn't die. And as Christians, the more that we believe this, the more that death will lose its sting. It won't be able to cause us such heavy grief if we are in the truth that our loved ones never die. They're just waiting for us in another place, those that know Christ. They're just waiting to reconnect with us. Because is that not the truth? Your mom and dad are just waiting to reconnect with you. They never died. Aaron, it's waiting to reconnect with us. So that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. There's another thing I want to teach right here. We are spiritual. This is reinforcing this truth. We are spirit. I know. Sounds like I have flesh, but this is just a temporary state for me now. I am spirit. I am. You are. And if we can learn to realize that our spiritual life is much more important than our flesh life, things will go so much better. Life will be, as Jesus said, easy and light, because his yoke is easy and light. If we realize that we're spirit, then we're going to put the focus on the spirit, not the flesh, and it keeps us fulfilling things in our lives that cause pain and hurt. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. You know, there's a saying that about people. Boy, that person's flighty. Ever heard that saying? That person's flighty. It's like, can't really nail them down on anything. But as spiritual beings, there's something about us being in flight. We're to be like the wind. What does that mean? That means that we're to be led and directed by the Holy Spirit in such a way that we look like wind is blowing us. How many have ever seen, I know you, Eric and Nancy, you guys have, but I'm trying to remember the name of it, but is it the Father's Heart? Father Heart? I'm trying to remember. What? Finger of God, but then there's the other one where it's about the man who lives in India. And I can't remember the title. You can't remember it. Okay, you could bail me out. But this man got saved. He was, I think he was like a devout Hindu. You guys are trying to remember the name of it. Yeah. Anyway, what ended up happening to him is that he had these type of experiences where he was like the wind. And when I saw it, I really felt convicted because I'm, Lord, man, I don't do this. But he would be like praying in the morning and the Lord would tell him, you're going to go to this particular like city or town or little village and you're going to go and talk to so-and-so and give them a lot of times the name. And sometimes you say, and they're going to like want to kill you at first when you get there. But ask for this person, in this kind of direction, and he would go in and then reach the whole town, reach the whole village. Sometimes these were like terrorists he was going in to talk to. And he would talk to the main guy, he would get saved, and the whole village would get saved. Or he would end up meeting like, I can't remember in India what they're called, but the those heads, are they called Sikhs or whatever, the guys who are the leaders. He met one of those in a large town, and that guy, who was, you know, basically a Hindu, was told to meet this person at this park. And so he met him at this park, said, "Yeah, you're the one that I had the vision was coming to me today." Yeah, and this happened to him daily. That's like the wind. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. We have been born of the Spirit. Holy Spirit has come and conceived something in us, just like Jesus. There's been a seed planted in us, and we have the ability to bear fruit. Final one here. This is Romans 8, 15 through 17. "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. I'm no longer a slave to fear." That's what that's about. I'm not slaved to the old dead life. I'm not slave to being rejected. I've become a child of God. The spirit of adoption. The Holy Spirit. It's not like some other spirit. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has birthed us into the place of being connected in the family of God. Then it says the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Holy Spirit is testifying to each and every one of you right now, because we're in a place that we're seeking God, that you are God's child, that you're his son, you're his daughter, that you're not an orphan, that you're not, you know, you've been discarded as waste. You are valuable. As Eric was saying, the Lord says, "I love you." God demonstrated his love by what? Sending his son. In that what? While we were still what? Sinners. Christ died for me. Christ died for me before I even knew who Christ was. Christ saved me before I even knew who Jesus was. Because it was a finished work on the cross. He saved me on the cross. Once he allowed Holy Spirit to what? Give birth to me, then I became a child of God. But he loved me when I was at my worst. I've got a saying, and I think it's good to remember, that Jesus did not die for your best day. He didn't. He didn't die for the day that you're in church and you've got all your ducks in a row and everything's going well. Man, I'm reading my Bible, Pastor. It's like God's got to like really be proud of me, and he must be, you know, really loving me now. Because remember, Jesus died to demonstrate love, right? Jesus was crucified to demonstrate God's love. So he died for your worst day. Whether your worst day is pre-Christ or after you receive Christ, he died for your worst day. Isn't that good news? That it's not about how my behavior is at keeping me saved. It's who I look to save me. Who I look to that's delivered me and set me free. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You are a child of God. And if you don't believe that right now, ask Holy Spirit to bear witness of this truth in your heart. Say, "Holy Spirit." I'm going to ask it right now. Holy Spirit, please bear witness in each of our hearts that we are children of God. And if children, we are heirs. Heirs with Christ. Heirs with Christ. You know what it means to be an heir? You know, like the heir of Elon Musk? That'd be like his child. Or maybe he's gone on his will, somebody that's not even necessarily like from his home. It's like a mother or something. To be an heir means that you are going to receive what they have. Now, the thing about Christ is that he doesn't wait until we die to receive some of the air, some of the inheritance. It says that the Holy Spirit is the deposit. So when we have Holy Spirit, we have part of this inheritance. I know there's going to be stuff that we have in heaven and receive in heaven. I'm not saying that we're never going to receive anything else. But right now we have Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit is God. So if we have Holy Spirit, who do we have? We have God. And if we have God, don't you think we have the resources of God? And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. There is something about suffering that perfects things in us. And I can tell you this from experience. There's something about going through hardships and letting God work in your life and through those hardships that does something in you. There's a glory that comes. There's a strength that comes. To use a word that's used sometimes for certain situations, there's a gravitas that comes. There's a weight that you carry because you've allowed God to work through that difficulty instead of just shaking your fist at whatever or beating the wall. If you say, Lord, this is a hard time right now, but I know your grace is here. Your supernatural power to go through this situation. Hallelujah. So guys, without the Holy Spirit, we would not be celebrating Christmas. I know a lot of people said, without Jesus, we'd never celebrate Christmas. But it goes beyond that, without the Holy Spirit. So what I wanted this message to do was remind us that Holy Spirit has always been involved in your life. Holy Spirit has always been involved in Christmas. Holy Spirit has always been involved in birthing things in the world. And I believe Holy Spirit in this day and age is going to birth things in you. Whether that's giving you messages and words and things that you can start trusting in and hoping in and believing in, or whether that's giving you instructions about how to walk in life, how to move forward, how to keep from stumbling over the enemy's tricks and traps that he lays out for you. Holy Spirit is there anytime we look to Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit is a person. Holy Spirit isn't just like some fluffy thing. Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one, this day and age, that leads the church. It's as if Jesus is leading the church when Holy Spirit leads the church. Because Jesus says, it's better if I go away because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm going to send the Spirit of Truth. And we all have Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are here. Where two or more are gathered in the name of the Lord, Jesus is here. Because Holy Spirit, you live in us. And we carry Jesus in us because we carry you. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are birthing something in the earth and in us, just as you did when you brought Jesus into the world. When you planted the seed in Mary, you're doing something new this day. I can tell by talking to others, you're doing something new in this day. We say, Lord, let us be candidates for that new thing that you want to do. Thank you for birthing us into new life. Thank you for helping us to become a spiritual man and woman. We just ask that you continue to lead us, continue to guide us, continue to instruct us, continue to be the one that comforts us when we go through difficult times. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for being with us and never leaving us and never forsaking us. In Jesus' name, Amen. Christmas season, when you gather around your trees for presents and get some eggnog or whatever it is you do for this season on Christmas Day, maybe have a prime rib or something like that, remember that it's not just about Jesus himself, but it's about God the Father who sent the Son, and it's about the Holy Spirit who literally brought Jesus into this earth. Amen. Amen. Love you all. Have a great day. Blessings.